Bad news, Bears. The Phoenix Suns fall to the Orlando Magic 114-97. But have no fear. PHNX is here. And we're brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Also, don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and leave us a five-star review. Guys, How you doing tonight?
I do not like the Orlando Magic in a hurricane.
You're not going to do it, Jared?
I do not like them in a slight rain.
Oh, right. That was...
Never mind.
No! Jared
just... I was ready to go.
I thought you were going to do it.
He was going to go, then you were going to go, then I was going to go. That's why Lindsay said when it gets back to her.
Welcome to the PHNX Suns bitch session.
We tried as much as the Suns tried tonight. That's the way that tonight went. It was a bad Friday for all of us. Let's get into it. What are your guys' 3 points of this game?
Mine, you know, they've got to be just concerned about the election here in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously something on their mind beyond basketball, because that wasn't it tonight.
I think mine was Terrence Ross. I think they were just trying to give him a safe space to really show out and see, is this a guy we want to trade for at the trade deadline?
I heard that they had tickets to Magic Hours at Disney World, and they wanted to make sure that they get there. So that's when the park closes and you get it all to yourself.
Mm-hmm. That explains
it. I'm sure that's what it was.
I think so. I mean, Josh in the chat said we did not do our thing, 21. So really, I mean, who's to blame here? Nobody's to blame in this situation. I'm just kidding. For real. Let's actually get into our 3 points of the game. Saul, tip us off. What you got?
Yeah, so mine, I completely forgot because I thought you were going to go with Espo again. Give me a second. Espo, go.
Travel issues.
Oh, yeah, the travel issues. I said it before the game. It throws your rhythm off. I said that they were going to start off slow. I didn't realize that their slow start was going to persist all the way through the game, but that was my main point.
My main point is Mikal Bridges. We were talking about how great he was the other night, and he was still aggressive tonight, but he just could not hit anything. He went 3 for 13, 2 for 6 from three, finished with 8 points. And I think some of his releases were a little wonky. You looked at the sleeve that he had on his left elbow. I don't know if that's been bothering him or what's going on, but his release just looked strange tonight, and it showed up in his shooting numbers.
Yeah, for me, it was just the differential in bench scoring tonight. The Suns closed the gap towards the end, but it was a 10-point differential there, and overall, you just can't give that up. But we know that they're lacking on their bench. We thought they were in a healthy Suns team, but when you have guys out like they've had, and you've had to have bench guys move into the starting lineup, it makes it much more difficult to compete. And that puts a lot of pressure on your starting unit. Neither of them had it tonight. But that becomes real problematic when your bench can't help at all.
All right, let's dive a little bit deeper into Saul's point. Obviously, their rhythms, their routines were a little thrown off, possibly in large part because of all the travel issues. I think when you're so used to having something a certain way, when it gets kind of thrown off a little wonky, it can mess up your entire schedule. We're talking now practice is later, training sessions are later, things that you need from the medical staff are later. How much of a factor do you really think this was, Saul?
I mean, for some guys, it's probably a big factor. Others, not so much. I thought Cam Payne played a decent game. He's probably one of the few guys out there that seemed like he at least had some energy. Everybody else just kind of, they really just kind of looked like blah, you know what I mean? Like nobody really did anything outstanding. And you want to try and find the catalyst for that. And I think it all starts at the very beginning when you have an extra half day that you have to spend in Minnesota and you kind of figure out the unknown. You don't really have a good routine in terms of your day to day. Athletes are very routine driven. And so I think it wasn't the reason, obviously, but I think it contributed to it.
Well, I think when you add in the fact that you're facing a team like Orlando, who isn't on most nights particularly good, and you see that they have all these injuries, when you're already in a mindset that things are a little weird, you think, well, maybe we can take the foot off the gas a little bit because, you know, we've had all these travel issues. This isn't a really great team. And you kind of lose your edge a bit with that, with all that combined.
They just had no flow tonight, no rhythm, no energy. I mean, DA got off to a great start. I think he had 8 points in the first quarter, and then Campaign was a spark plug trying to get something going in that fourth quarter, but they just really were needing something, anything. Like, Monty turned to a dual big lineup with Biombo for a stretch. He gave Dwayne Washington Jr. some minutes. Like, he was just looking for a sign of life from anybody. And so I do think that kind of factors in. These guys are creatures of habit. Like, they have their routines, and when you throw that off and throw in the bus travel and all that stuff, it can definitely mess with you a little bit.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Espo, as far as just now I can't remember my train of thought.
I'm getting so choked up.
Sorry.
Well, I did win my DraftKings bet today, though.
You did?
Yes.
And we will talk about that. What were you saying, though, as far as
your mentality is off when you're...
Yes,
when
I'm you sorry. I literally...
Ironically enough.
Lindsay took a bus here today.
Lindsay actually had travel difficulties as well.
And then my brain went completely blank. My bad. But yes, I do think there's something to be said about that. I think that's something we've seen a lot with the Suns over the last couple of years. They seem to just, like... I know we joke about them playing with their food. But Gerald, you even tweeted about it. Their most frustrating games are against teams that they should completely blow out of the water. Mm. And I think a lot of it is just like this mentality that, oh, we can coast through this game. And you have to remember that even though, yes, technically you should be able to coast through these games, there's still NBA players on the other side of the court who are trying to beat you very badly.
That's a learned habit, though, because they did coast a lot last year and pulled it off in the fourth. I wonder if it's just kind of ingrained that, oh, we can flip the switch at any point. But the problem is you're playing with Campaign and Torrey Craig in your starting lineup, which drastically changes things. And they just didn't have it tonight at all. So they didn't play with their food. They choked on it.
Well, that's the thing. This is a trend that goes back to the year they went to the finals. They had a better record against teams above 500 that year than they did against teams below 500. Like, this is a team that always gets up for the big game and then tends to play down to their competition, especially when their opponents are missing guys. I think they use their opposition as fuel for their competitive fire. And when they can't get up for a game, they struggle with it. Even though Monty and the guys always preach, you know, everybody in the NBA is worthy of respect. These guys can beat anybody on a given night. They sure don't play like it sometimes.
Honestly, I think you just say that sometimes for the sake of saying it because you have to.
Right.
I don't know that they actually believe it.
But there's the irony. Well done is better than well said. Your coach wears it on his damn hat. So just saying it and not living it is problematic.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm confused how to feel, though, because we sat here and said, I don't care how they perform in the regular season.
Right.
I don't care if they mess with things and try different things in the regular season. If guys don't play, it's fine. And then it happens, and the instinct is to get upset about the fact that they crapped the bet against Orlando.
No, messing with things. I don't think this game was like trying to tinker
not
with things or trying new things.
You had injuries.
Everything else was just with no energy.
Injuries isn't Monty being like, oh, hey, by the way, Cam, why don't you fuck up your knee right now so we can test some things out. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what happened here. Tonight is they got completely outplayed by a second string lineup across the board. Like, that's what it is. And that's not experimental. That's just lazy fucking basketball.
Yeah, but we talked about taking nights off and even mentally for
like
this
resting
team.
Guys, yes, yeah. But not just not showing up. Like, what is that? Like, no, we're not letting them off the hook.
It's what the rest of the West has done the beginning of the season. hasn't showed up.
I'm inclined to agree that, like, a game like this, there wasn't a lot of experimenting going on. There wasn't a lot of growth in this game. But I also kind of see the point as, like, I'm kind of done caring about regular season losses to bad teams as long as they continue to beat the good teams. They just have this weird bad habit of doing it. So I'm not freaking out about this game. But it was just like an unfortunate way to spend a Friday watching Suns basketball.
This is what I'll say about this. Since if we're not going to care about the regular season or the games, especially against bad teams, then why the fuck is DeAndre Ayton only playing 26 minutes? Why not experiment and let him play fucking 40? You know, you got everybody else out there playing 30 plus minutes. He plays 26, didn't have a fucking foul all game. And like, I don't understand it. Like, if we're going to experiment, how about we experiment trying to get guys better as opposed to taking them out and then What do you gain by playing Bismack Biyombo or Landale as much as you are? Like, you got to play DA a little bit more if he's this max contract guy. Am I wrong? Like, 26. Listen, we're going to give other guys minutes. I totally get that. But 26, that's damn near half the game, only half the game for a guy who you have to lean on to develop out there. I just don't even understand it. I don't even understand why you would do that. What, because Bol Bol's giving him his lunch? Like, two guys, Wendell Carter and Bol Bol, both had double-doubles against DA today. Like, I know it wasn't just DA, but, well, hell, if this game doesn't matter, you might as well play DA the whole fucking game and see what he's going to do in the fourth quarter when he's dog-ass tired, because why not?
I mean, I have to go back and watch the rotation, but it did seem like they went to the dual big lineup and that ate into his minutes because they were trying to find something because they were down double digits. I get when you look at the final box score and you look at the numbers, the minutes, and it's way different for DA compared to the rest of the guys. But we weren't sitting there watching this game actively thinking like, man, where's DA? Like, they need more DA out there to get in this game. I don't.
No, and you brought it up during the game, and I think this is exactly why. You don't play DA more than that. He was out there grabbing at his shorts after 3 minutes in the game, huffing and puffing.
The third quarter,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, that's why. Because I don't think he physically is capable of it at times, going out there and playing for more of the minutes than he has in a lot of these games. And to Jiddle's point, it wasn't like he was helping you get back into the game either, so.
But, I mean, nobody was. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, I get that excuse, but like, nobody was out there helping anything. Mikal Bridges had 8 points and he was shooting like dog shit. Like, okay, well, the whole team's off, so you might as well just go ahead and test some things out. Again, in the theory of testing things and experimentation, why not let DA play more than his usual 30, 32 points minutes a game? Why not push him to those other limits? Maybe you could push him to the point where he doesn't get gassed 3 minutes into the third quarter and he's in better game shape. Or, you know, he played very well in the first quarter. Maybe you don't take him out when you usually do and see what this is going to look like if you continue to play him throughout that. Maybe you can just let him roll into the second quarter. Like, sometimes you let Devin Booker plays the whole first quarter, then he sits out at the beginning of the second. Why not do the same thing with DA? Like, that's the experimentation I want to see. I don't want to see bumfucks from the bench playing more, damn near, you know, half the minutes that DA is playing when he's the one that's making $100+ million in total.
I get the point early, but I actually would have rather seen Monty just take all the starters out for that fourth and not put minutes on these guys after a rough travel schedule and everything, and just say, you know what? Sometimes you just got to admit it's not your night. Let the bench guys just play it and give these guys that we've have taxed into the 40-minute range over the last handful of games some time to rest.
But they never get it. But they never do that with Booker and Bridges. They never do. They never. He doesn't even think about doing that with those two.
Well, all I know is Icon is on the same page as us here right now. He sent us a super chat earlier. Thank you, Icon. Said DA needs to stay out of foul trouble, plays 26 minutes with zero fouls against a starting lineup with 2 7-footers. Vintage Monty. And then he went on later on with another comment saying something to the effect of, if you're going to experiment, why not go with two bigs?
Well, I mean,
with DA in
right, yeah, and that's it's a fair point, but he was also looking for a different spark because nobody in the starting lineup to that point had given a spark. So I'm not saying it's the right call. I'm just saying I think that's probably what Monty's thinking was, because he literally went with Biyombo and then a few minutes later brought in Dwayne Washington Jr. He was literally looking for any type of life from someone on the bench.
But again, he doesn't do that with the other two.
That's because they regularly play a lot more minutes, and because they have been to this point more valuable this season on the floor. Like, that's just the pecking order. It is what it is.
My point is, it'll never improve if you don't ever try it. You never know what you have if you don't ever try it.
Yeah.
I don't think Book and Mikal should be out there in the fourth quarter in a game like this. Mm-mm. Like, regardless of how many minutes you're used to playing or if you're capable of doing it, that's just asking for something bad to happen. Like, just take them out at that point. There's no reason.
They were only down 13 going into the fourth. It's not like the game was
totally at the beginning
over.
Of the fourth. Like, no, but like a little bit 4 minutes into it, into I feel the like fourth, they played they were a little down by like bit
19. I mean, it was pretty clear that they weren't coming back in this game.
They
in a
needed
a game that Book's shooting 6 of 19. It's like, okay, we get it. Not our night.
They needed to have a complete 180 in order, I feel like, to come back and win this game, because there was just like zero energy throughout this entire one. And unless at least four of the five out there somehow found a huge burst of energy, it didn't feel like they had it in them tonight.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it felt from the outside looking in. Okay, let's also talk about Mikal, because I feel like Gerald said, that was probably a big reason in tonight's game. Things just felt a little off. So Mikal's shooting wise, not even remotely close to what he was the other night. Mikal went 3 of 13 from the field and 2 of 6 from deep. But it seemed like he was struggling with some sort of issue in his left arm, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you... like, I think we have the photo of it, but like, he never wears a sleeve on his left arm, and he had that on tonight. Pretty big left sleeve. And then we've never seen that from him. 3 of 13. He had that one shot where he was dribbling down the court in transition and pulled up and like launched this weird, like one-handed, right-handed floater that just looked strange. Like, he didn't even put his left hand on the ball.
Looked uncomfortable.
And there was nobody on him. So it wasn't like he, you know, somebody contested and he had to change it up in midair or something. It was just a weird shot. It could have just been that he was in his own head. I don't want to like make excuses for him just because he shot bad tonight, but like it was very weird. And like, his release was kind of left to right. It wasn't like dead on like it normally is. I don't know. It was just a very strange shooting night.
Yeah. And you don't put one of those sleeves on just randomly one day, go, you know what, I want to put a sleeve on this elbow. Like, there's usually a reason from the training staff as to why you'd be wearing that. So even if it's not anything major, but enough to just throw you off from your rhythm, you know, that could definitely lead to, or at least be a part of, a 3 for 13 night.
Yeah, I don't know, but that is definitely something to keep an eye out on. Hopefully we hear... I mean, they do have a day off tomorrow. They actually have 2 days off, you guys, which will be good for them. So do we.
Days off in South Beach. I don't know if this is going to be good.
Yeah, that's rough.
You're not wrong. But at least from maybe if he's got a little bit of lingering pain or just something feels a little off, maybe those 2 days will give his elbow enough of a break that it needs to be back to normal. Hopefully it's nothing crazy. Because Lord knows we don't need that to happen to Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, one of our girthlings, Jay, suggested maybe Mikal accidentally elbowed Shamit in the head, and that's how they both got
No.
I think tinfoil hat club coming.
That one sounds like a tinfoil hat club. But here's the thing, though. It wasn't just Mikal Bridges who struggled shooting tonight out of that starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Book did not have himself a great shooting night either. He was a 6 of 19 from the field and 2 of 8 from deep. So it was just an overall, offensively, not a good night for this Suns team. It didn't seem like many of them, if any of them, really had any type of flow. So honestly, it was just a really bad night for the Suns basketball.
You can feel that from the tip. Yeah. It just everything about it felt off. And we've seen this movie with other teams before, and sometimes the Suns are good enough to overcome it, and they might win, but they might win sloppily. And we even talked about it in the pregame, because I said the Suns would only win by 3, and Espo said that they would win by 21. He had the right score, but close, just the wrong team.
I just misspoke.
Orlando. Yeah. But then, you know, Gerald had said, well, we've seen these guys kind of play down to the competition before. And not only did they play down to the competition, they got mollywopped by the by the competition. And again, I don't think it was necessarily like it was just the bad shooting. More concerning was just the real piss poor defense. Mm-hmm. Like, they were giving up wide open lanes time after time after time again. And it was like they kept telling these professional shooter or professional basketball players to prove it. Prove that you can make the shot. Well, they're a fucking NBA player. Yeah, they're going to make the shot. If they're wide open, they're going to make the shot. And that's what they did.
Somebody in the chat mentioned something similar to this, but does this team just struggle with length? I mean, when you play a team with a lot of bigger guys, and I don't mean necessarily bulky wise, because Bol Bol ain't a bulky guy, but just length, it seems like they struggle. It very much, we saw it with the Pelicans last year in the playoffs. That's a team with a lot of length. We've seen it with a few teams this year as well. Is that a concern with this lineup?
Well, it is, and we mentioned it in pregame that this Magic team, they're the 23rd ranked defense, but they do have a lot of length, especially with those 2 7-footers that they start. And you know, Book is a
Bamba off the bench,
right? And Book is a guy that can normally get to his spots, but length obviously bothers even the best scorers in the league. When Chris Paul is out there, he's a guy that length, you can really bother him with that. And outside of that, we've talked about this for years now, they don't have a lot of guys that can go out and get their own bucket. Mikal Bridges still trying to work on that. DA, he has to be set up for his looks most of the time. So yeah, the length definitely bothered them. I think they also just missed a lot of shots. Like, yeah, they were 13 for 42. I love that they got up 42 threes, but they couldn't hit anything tonight.
It felt like it was either a three-point shot or they tried to get the rim. It didn't feel like a lot of mid-range tonight, and I think, to your point, the length can stop a lot of that mid-range. So
yeah, definitely can. Only 22 assists tonight after they had 30-some the other night. Yeah. So
when they don't have their mind right, the length becomes way more apparent to them. And Booker struggles with that as well. But when they're locked in, I don't think the length really bothers them so much. We saw that against the Mavericks. When they were locked in, they handle business just fine, easily. Mm-hmm. Last game, you have the length of Rudy Gobert and Cat, no problem. They whizzed right around that without any issue. But in general, yes, I would agree. Even the Trailblazers provided some sticky points, and the Suns should have beat them both times, but they struggled and they lost it in the fourth quarter. And so, again, if they come locked in, ready to go, I think they could beat anybody in the NBA. When they don't, they can lose to teams like Orlando, and that's where we're at right now, especially when you're missing key parts like Cam Johnson, Chris Paul, and Jay Crowder.
All I know is that I hope that the seats on the plane that they are traveling on tonight, or the furniture at the hotels, or the beds at the hotels, are as comfortable as the furniture we have here at the PHNX Studios.
Transition.
All thanks to more furniture. Because if travel did play into this game whatsoever, then hopefully they have some comfy furniture to get some well-deserved rest on and be fresh for the next game on Monday. So all we can do is have our fingers crossed for that. And speaking of More Furniture, if you'd like to spruce up your home during More Furniture's fall sale, you can check them out at morefurniture.com. That's morfurniture.com. Plus, right now, you'll receive a $100 gift card for every $1,000 you spend. Also, speaking of the holidays, they're just around the corner. You can spruce up your home at More Furniture.
You can.
You could get gifts for all of your favorite people at phnxlocker.com. Mm-hmm. We have some really great merch. I know we haven't talked about it a whole lot recently, but it's still there. It's still just as fabulous as ever. The shirts are super soft. They're really cool designs. What design? Okay, let's pretend you guys don't have all the shirts that you have already from PHNX, right? If you were getting one shirt from our locker right now for the first time on Christmas morning, which one would you be most excited to open up?
I'm excited for my Die Hard one. I purchased it, but I don't have it yet, and I'm excited for that one.
Okay,
looking forward to that. So,
I mean, I would say the Valley Sicko one, just because. Yeah. It was my idea. I like that one.
Oh, well, if we're going that way, then maybe we're just fucking better shirt. You know what I mean? Even though the Cardinals are not fucking better.
No. Yeah.
But I do like that shirt, and it popped off when we launched that. That's one of my favorite shirts that we've created.
It's a cool design.
Because it has the F word in it, too, so I like that.
Shocker.
And it's a cool design, too.
That is a fun one.
Honestly, I think our Merc, the DT shirt, the Mercury one, I think that one's probably
that one
like...
goes hard.
That one, if we're ranking as far as which shirt goes hard compared to the others, like I love the others, but that one's at the top of the list. Like that's a super dope shirt.
One of the cool things we do have coming up that I can say is we will have a Black Friday sale. It'll be hot, and next week breaking news. Next week.
Oh man,
I gotta knock on the wood because you just fucking never know. We have a major announcement. Major announcement that is going to involve our members, current members, future members, merch, the whole series. It's going to be a fucking banger.
I thought you were going to drop the other thing that we were hopefully going to have in the next few weeks.
So much excitement.
I love how you guys are always so coy about all these things, and Gerald and I are just like, what's happening? Like, what's happening?
I don't want to say it because then I'm going to jinx it, but this guy's kind of giving you a clue. So
that's Carmelo Anthony. Oh, no, that's not right.
Hoodie Mello.
Hoodie Mello.
Here we come.
All right. So we have a couple super chats that I want to get to. First and foremost, we got one from Code. Code, thank you for your super chat. They said, Happy Veterans Day, Saul.
Oh, thank you.
Happy Veterans Day,
appreciate it. Thank you.
And then we have another super chat from Star. Thank you for your super chat. It said, guys, we need your help in Australia. We can't get the new sunburst at all down here. No one wants to ship to us. Sad face.
All right. For a 40% kickback, I will go buy it and ship it to each of you individually.
If you all pony up enough money for us all to travel to Australia, we will bring a jersey to you.
Seriously, though, if you're willing to pay the shipping, DM me. We'll pay for the jersey too. I'm not buying the jersey, but if you're willing to pay what it's going to cost to buy the jersey and ship it, I'll go see if I can find your size in the player. I'm happy to do that for our Australian fans.
Yeah, we can do our best.
Just our Australian fans.
That's it. Nobody else.
I'm if you're kidding. Local, you're shit out of luck.
We have some English fans too.
We have fans from literally all over the world. No,
we do.
Cool.
We're worldwide.
I extend that offer to anybody in any country as long as you send me the money.
Be careful. You're like, oh, sorry, babe. I gotta go to fucking wherever to get the jersey again today for the 15th day in a row.
I'm just gonna call up my friends at one of the places and go, hey, I need one of those codes that you give to influencers. I'm gonna make some cash off this.
There you go.
I'll take care of you.
Can you knock a box off the truck real quick?
All right. So continuing on with our points, Espo, earlier in the show, you mentioned the bench and the comparison between the second unit of these two teams. How much do you think not having Campaign or Landry Shamet in that second unit played a factor tonight?
Well, Campaign, Landry Shamet, you've got Torrey Craig that's now in the starting lineup. It all starts to add up. And then while we were sitting here, I'm looking at the stats and, you know, I remember thinking, oh, Damian Lee got off to a pretty hot start. And then he only got 6 shots in this entire game, went 3 of 6. In a game like this, I want to see a guy like Damian Lee get more shots because we've seen he could be one of those microwave guys where all of a sudden he just gets hot from deep and rattles off 9 straight points and it changes things. To me, if you're going to play him 22 minutes, get him more than 6 shots.
I think at the end of the day, what I keep coming back to that I didn't even really consider at the beginning of this show is that I think Monty didn't do a very good job as well tonight. I think overall, he didn't do a very effective job of trying to get guys into situations where they could succeed a little bit better than he did. I'm not saying it's completely his fault. You got to bring the juice. But as a coach, I don't think he came as well prepared as he should have been as well.
Yeah. And I understand the bench has been an area of concern for us, but I didn't think that they were that bad. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, scoring 27 points, especially when you got guys missing, is you can live with that.
Yeah, but you got to look at the last 2 minutes in garbage time.
But it wasn't. But I mean, a lot of Biombo's points came in garbage time. But like, other than that, and Dwayne Washington's all were in garbage time. But like, for
well,
me,
that's like 8-9 points.
Yeah, that right. That's 12 points right there.
But my point is, the other guys didn't shoot poorly outside of Dario. And like, if you look at the flow of the game, the starters came in, they got down early. The bench was the one that pulled them back in the game in the second quarter, and then the starters came back in, and then they were down 9. And then third quarter, the starters mostly played, and they were down by 13. Like, for me, the starters lost this game. Like, the bench was not great, but for considering how shorthanded the bench is, I didn't think it was that big a deal.
And I agree. My point more is the bench unit hurts when you have to pull so many of these guys into the starting lineup, which then makes it tougher if you get in a hole to try to come back because you're asking guys who usually don't get significant minutes to now try to help pull you back into a game when your starters don't have it. And it just didn't. I don't think fairly you can expect them to do that. And tonight they were in a position where they had to. Right?
When you're missing 3 guys from your bench, 3 of your main guys from your bench, and your starters are relying on the rest of the guys in that unit, there's trouble at hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Gerald said it best. Like, he didn't think that it was really a big deal what the bench did tonight. which means that they did not mince Landry Shamet. There you go, folks. You happy? You're welcome. Man. You asked for it. You wanted him to get his flowers.
Never.
He will not do it, damn it.
Don't forget what this show is all
not
about.
Not on this program.
Never.
Back,
not on my watch. I will stand guard.
Landry will actually get his flowers on this show. Saul will try and stomp on them, but we will make sure Landry gets his daggone flowers.
Thou shall not pass.
So I'm just saying. But not tonight, because Landry didn't play tonight.
Like you just couldn't. There was no answers tonight. Everybody was part of the problem. Nobody was part of the solution in this. Outside of, I will say this, Campaign, who obviously came from the bench unit, thrown into the starting lineup, has performed admirably in the two starts he's had. And tonight wasn't really his fault. I mean, he was the only guy to shoot above, I think it's above 40% from three. Shot 5 of 10 tonight. I mean, he had almost half the three-point makes for this team. He did what he could, but, that's not enough.
Well, it's enough to be named the DraftKings King of the Game in tonight's game. I'll tell you that.
Attaboy,
so
Cam.
Congratulations, Campaign. You are tonight's DraftKings King of the Game because you had 22 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal, and you shot 5 of 10 from deep, which, we'll take what we can get.
I kind of zoned out for a second because I was sending her a text. I really thought you were about to make Landry Shamet the king of the game because
oh
you
God.
Said he'll get his flowers despite what Saul says. So when I looked up, I was like, wait, what? Are we really giving Landry?
Hey, that would have been fucking great. You should have done that. I totally should have done that.
You had your chance.
I did.
Blew it.
I didn't even think about that. Next time. I'll get him in there one of these days. But, yes, Campaign. You know, like we said, Campaign stepped in when the team needed him the most and to move into that starting unit. And he's played well both games. Well-ish both games.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, last 2 days ago? What's today? Friday? Wednesday night's game was great.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's game, Cam at least looked like at portions of this game like he actually wanted to be out there.
Right.
Yes. He was
the only guy that was trying to give them anything late in that game. Hit 5 of 10 from three, which was huge because they only hit 13 as a team. The one thing he needs to be a little bit better about, which he was in the Minnesota game, is the turnovers. He had 4 tonight. He had 0 against the Wolves. And that's a big thing on a night like this where you're struggling to find a rhythm. It seems like officials are calling palming and they're calming that, that first step that guys take before they put the ball on the ground a lot more as a travel this year. And that's hurt him a couple times.
Hello, stop slandering Stuff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah,
again.
Cut it out.
Pre-game end here. I will not allow it.
You know what was a win tonight?
What's that?
Us hanging
My
out
bet
together.
On the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Mm-hmm.
Saul's bet on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And Gerald's pretend bet from our pregame show. Sorry, Espo, you're the lone wolf tonight.
Look, I tried to be optimistic, and that'll teach me not to be optimistic, damn it. Done with this being a kinder, gentler Espo.
So I took the over.
What the fuck? What?
I was trying to be Mr. Positive.
When did that happen?
Hey, you all are down this team.
Did you guys get that memo?
Yeah.
Lindsay, you're such a fence rider. God.
No,
damn.
I feel like it happened.
No,
it literally happened. What was last weekend's game when me and Espo were trying to be positive when we played Portland? Was it Portland?
Yeah.
And it was a garbage, boring ass game. Espo and I were, that's when it started. Espo was trying to be positive.
Wait,
I was
wasn't
like,
that
Espo
the game
took
that they
a page out of
like
my book. Yeah, but it was so boring.
But you can be positive after an 18 point
right.
win.
I'm trying.
That's when it started.
I've been told that, just because Arizona teams have had a rough go of it, don't be negative. don't always act like ho-hum, Arizona sports teams can't do it because of the jinxed. Uh-huh. Well, I tried to not be that and I got screwed. So screw that idea. I'm going back to being me.
Oh, man.
Let's not do that.
Well, screw you too, Lindsay.
I like you being positive. Right. I would prefer you just stick
Let's
with this.
Let's not go back to
Suffering,
you being yourself.
Suck a dash. I mean, come on.
I don't want you to be mean. Anyway, back to the bet.
He just said, let me go back to being myself. And she said, let's not do that.
I did not like
that
him.
Part.
Chris
I did
Melton
not hear
says
that
it.
Part, to be fair.
Chris
I heard
Melton
the mean part.
Nails it. You can still live in reality and still be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Yeah. I swear to God, I did not hear Espo say, I'm going back to being me. I heard you say, I'm going back to being mean.
Everybody's saying, don't be yourself, Espo.
No.
Espo, please don't be Espo.
I feel like I started that and I fueled that fire. I heard you were saying you were going to go back to being mean.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Hello says it best. No one screws Espo except Espo, which was my slogan in high school. So.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, he said it yesterday on the show when we were doing the draft. That he loves him some him.
Okay. No. Anyway, back to the DraftKings Sportsbook app. I took the over on Devin rebounds tonight. It was at 4.5 rebounds. He finished with 8 of those. I'm telling you, I feel like the over on book right now is probably minus the points. But I feel like it's going to be a decent option to bet on because I feel like Devin's going to be like, I have to do it because if nobody else will. It's got to be me.
Yep. Welcome back, old book.
And then, Saul, what was your bet? You took points, rebound, and assist for DA, the under.
Yep. 26.5. He only got 20.
Yeah.
Shocker.
So, well, yeah, they only got 20.
I am not only off the bandwagon. I am off the bandwagon, sprinting, and I have now just left the state.
Well, oh man!
Have you joined the DAnon? Are you like totally on the Luca?
No. I don't care. I don't care about anything else except for DA and his performances. And time after time after time, whenever you need this dude the most in some bullshit ass game, he doesn't show up. Against weaker competition. What we would deem inferior competition to what he could provide. He doesn't show up a lot of those times. And the last three games have proved that. And Embiid's not inferior competition. But guy barely did anything in that game. Okay, Gobert, not inferior competition. But I think DA is a better offensive player than Gobert is.
Right.
Still didn't do shit. Mm. Tonight, you have inferior competition for real this time. Meh. 20.
Yeah,
I'm just so sick.
So basically, the moral of the story is take the over on book and the under on DA right now. If you're putting money on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, so
no, because book didn't even show up.
Put money on Saul's heart being broken by DA. Okay.
It is.
Well,
it really is.
Go with that.
I'm like super disappointed. For real.
I feel you. I think a lot of people are super disappointed right now. And rightfully so. And we can continue on this conversation. But first, I have to tell everybody about the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Because right now, new customers can make any $5 NBA Moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code PHNX. That's promo code PHNX on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. I think everyone is really upset about DeAndre Ayton.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just so frustrating, you know. And honestly, a night like tonight also makes me frustrated with Mikal Bridges. And I know he had 31 the other night, and he played fantastic. But those are glimpses, and I'm tired. I'm tired of these two giving us glimpses. Mm-hmm. That maybe that's the way I should say it. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. I am tired of these two giving us flashes and then nothing else. Flashes and then nothing else. Like, where is the damn consistency? The floor, the baseline for DA right now should be on a bad night, he still gets you 16 and 10 on a bad night. But instead, that's almost a great game for him right now. That's a good game for him right now. Because the last couple games, he's had single-digit rebounds.
Right.
He's getting out-rebounded by fucking Bol Bol and Carter and Wendell Carter. Like, what are we even doing right now? I'm just so tired of it. Tired of it. And nobody can say I'm a hater. There's no possible way you can say I'm a hater because I've been on this dude's side for 4 straight years. I thought he should have got the max. I thought he should have been getting the ball a lot more. But every step of the way, outside of the playoff run in 2021, it just feels like he continuously just stops himself from excelling and going to another level. And I'm just tired of it. I am so
damn tired of defending this dude when he should be playing at a much higher level, whether it's his motor. I saw him on five different possessions, consecutive possessions. Go back and watch the tape where he's just standing around. The ball gets hit off the rim and he doesn't even flinch to go get it. He just watches his other teammates go get it. And there's like lack of movement. He's not even involved on the offensive side very much. He's standing around waiting for things to happen. Dude, activity. Like, there's things that are there for you to take advantage of, and you just refuse to do it for whatever reason. Again, just super, super disappointed.
Do you guys want a life lesson with Lindsay?
What's
for
that?
A hot second? Sure. Should we do a life lesson real quick?
What's your life lesson?
Sometimes, no. All of us either have or have had people in our life who tell us who they are.
Ooh.
They say out loud who they want to be, who they think they are, or what they think they're capable of. We look at people and we want to see their potential, right? We know that they can be better than what they are in so many different ways. But sometimes in life, and everyone's timeline is different, and that's okay for you guys to determine your own timeline, especially when it comes to Suns basketball and players on this team. But everyone has to determine their own timeline of when they stop believing what people are telling us and start believing what people are showing us. Mm-hmm. At some point in time, you have to believe DA when he shows us who he is as a player. We have to start believing it. And that could be, it could be situational. Like, I'm not saying that that's who DA is for the rest of his career, because a lot of times it is situational. How many times do you hear of somebody breaking up with somebody and then they go start dating somebody else and they do all the exact same things that the last partner asked them to do, like pleading with them to do? So sometimes it's situational. And if DA moves on to another team, whether by his choice or not, and he goes and he balls out there, then maybe it's just a bad situation that he was in where he just could not thrive. So, but at some point in time, we just have to say, this is DA. He has showed us who he is, and that's him.
I want to be careful with the bad situation thing, because Phoenix, if anything, and I've always said this, has enhanced his development. And people are going to disagree with that, and I don't care. They have put him time and time again in positions to succeed. But to your larger point, yes.
I'm not saying that Phoenix is at fault.
Right.
Necessarily. I'm saying sometimes things just don't work out. Yeah. Sometimes you could be the best guy with the best girl, and you guys seemingly on paper are the perfect fit, and it doesn't work out. And that's no one's fault. I'm just saying, if he goes and he balls out somewhere else, just understand that maybe it just wasn't right here.
Lindsay,
but don't be angry about it.
Let me ask you this. What do you do after you get out of a relationship? What do they call the next thing?
I think you should be
called a rebound.
DA can't do that, so we don't have to worry about it.
Right? Damn it, Espo.
That was worth the build up. I liked it.
I will say, for me with DA, this season is my timeline. I will give DA until the end of the season. That's my timeline.
Look, and we shouldn't. I don't want to like overreact to a handful of bad games either, because like it was just 5 games ago that he put up 24 on 10 of 14 against the Blazers. And yeah, it came in a loss, but that loss shouldn't have been, because there was a travel at the very end. Like, he's had a bad stretch and he's had a rough start to the season. Very inconsistent. It is a little bit worrying, but like, we've talked about this before, like leading up to that finals run, we weren't sure if he was going to play in fourth quarters, and he wound up being the most consistent player during that run. I think he will turn it on. He turned it on during the Pelican series last year as well. But yeah, this is a little disconcerting start to the season, and it's something that he needs to get on track very soon.
And that's why I kept going back to the main thing, consistency. Like, we should have better consistency from a guy like DA and Mikal Bridges, especially offensively. We need better consistency for those two, because I'm telling you, folks, there is no championship in sight if those two don't get it together. Mm-hmm. If they don't provide a higher baseline, it ain't happening. So I see you, Mr. J.R. Reed, like in the chat, and you're upset about DA and the slander right now. That's fine. But outside of the first quarter, you can't look at this game and tell me that DA didn't show up. Because he played really good in the first quarter, and then after that, he was basically a non-factor. Devin Booker will have an off game. It's okay. I can settle for Devin Booker having a bad game every now and then, because he is far more consistent than any son on the team. Any son. Chris Paul, DA, Mikhail, Cam. There's not a single Sun on there that is more consistent than Devin Booker. Devin Booker, just about every single night, you can book him for 25 plus points a night. You know where you're going to get with Devin. You can't say the same thing about everybody else. And that's the biggest difference. That's why we're not harping on Devin Booker against a midi game against Orlando for being off, because he just had 32 the other night against Minnesota. And that's his standard. That's what he usually provides on a day-to-day basis. I haven't seen that from DA. I haven't seen that from Mikhail. I haven't seen that from any other Sun on this team outside of Chris Paul. And we probably won't see that from Chris Paul scoring-wise again.
Yeah, I mean, they've been basketball teases. And what I don't want somebody that has to turn it on. I want somebody that's on and that they have off nights. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I don't want a guy that has to flip that switch to be there. I want the person that you can count on. And when he has a bad night, a la Devin Booker, you say it was a bad game and that's okay. It happens every once in a while.
Instead of the reverse, where you're questioning, is this just a good game that happens every once in a while, or is this who they can be?
Yeah. Exactly.
I would much rather have the Devin side of that argument. We do have a couple super chats. Does anybody want to read this super chat from Psycho Blue? Because I'm going to screw it up again.
Psycho Blue. B-Ball Cthulhu says that missing three rotation players caught up to us. B-Ball Loki is the local Orlando fan in the Pantheon. Big Florida man vibes.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know what that accent was, but I like it.
I was
thinking like Comic-Con, kind of like, you know. I've always wanted to read his tweets, but, you know, obviously Lindsay was doing that. So
From now on, you will always read Psycho Blue.
I also didn't want to go like stereotypical voices. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want to go down that road. So I was trying to think like, would Dragon Ball Z sound like? Yes.
Can I read this one for my $2 super chat from Icon?
So with that, like, disappointment is different.
We had to get Nookie Monster back in. Didn't we? Oh, man.
There are very few things in life, Lindsay, that I absolutely fucking hate more than fucking whatever monster. Like, every time he starts, I literally want to leave the show.
His eyes
every
just gloss over.
Time. I wish I had an OGs so I could just forget that this ever happened.
Have you not realized? That's why.
That's exactly this. This is you guys are literally like stepbrothers. Like, I'm just like, I'm waiting for the time where you guys, you're already best friends, but where you hit
that, you know what?
You just become best friends.
I'm just going to bring a squirt gun to the fucking set. And every time he opens his mouth to go, ooh, I'm going to shoot him right in the mouth.
Oh, God. I like water suggestion. S foot shade. Make a sock with that voice.
Oh, no. I just have it on in the office every single day.
Okay. So somebody asked me to do some of these reads in Lon Babby voice. I realized I've lost my Lon Babby voice.
No.
I got to go back and find it. I don't have it anymore.
Wow.
I tried it. And I'm like, that's not it.
So you're telling me you can't do an underdog fantasy read right now in a Lon Babby voice?
I don't have it.
Isn't it like fat tongued?
No, it's like, the underdog fantasy app is just wonderful. You know, you use that code PHNX, you put $100 in, you're going to get $100 back that you can use in the app, and you can play pick 'em. Yeah. Use the five P's to figure out how to win your bets. You pick higher, you pick lower, you know, that's what you do at the Underdog Fantasy app. It's terrible. It's not Lon anymore.
I don't know what it is either.
But I mean, so go to the Underdog Fantasy app and you can get that $100 in matched wagers there.
But only if you use the promo code PHNX. That's how you get. That's how you get the free extra $100 in match deposit. So, check that out. Underdog Fantasy. You can find it in the App Store. It's a lot of fun. It's the best way to play fantasy sports and potentially win big money at the same time. Also, Saul, you said you needed an OGs. Everyone was talking about needing something after the Nookie Monster read. Right now, I think Four Peaks is what we all need. A couple good Four Peaks beers. Mm-hmm. You can find them basically at any grocery store around town. You can find them at the Four Peaks Brewery down in Tempe. And it's so delightful. So check it out. If you feel like you just need something to take the edge off, Four Peaks beer is there for you. Also, Four Peaks and PHNX have teamed up to host all U.S. and Mexico World Cup matches at their 8th Street Pub. We're here for you as well. So check the link in the show notes to register for free. But just a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to drink Four Peaks beer, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly.
The best part of those World Cup watch-alongs, who doesn't want to get drunk at noon?
I mean,
come on out and get drunk at noon.
That's a fair point.
Or 8 a.m.
That too. You can
literally all day.
Whenever you want to get drunk.
It's basically like you're on vacation, where you can just wake up and start drinking. You could wake up and have a mimosa. You can have a Bloody Mary.
What vacations do you go on? Can you give me your travel agent?
I mean,
when you go on vacation, you don't just wake up and drink?
I got a six-year-old. What do you...
You haven't had a six-year-old your whole life. You're 38 years old.
I've acted like I've had a six-year-old my whole life.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you don't just do whatever the F you want on vacation? Isn't that the point of vacation? No.
He's like legit stunned right now that like in Vegas, you wouldn't just wake up and have a beer.
Well, Vegas is different. I've never been to Vegas on vacation. I've only gone for work.
Oh, my God.
And I have drank then.
In the morning?
Yes.
So then you get it.
You said vacation. I defaulted to when I go on vacation.
Okay. Like, what? Oh man, your vacations make me sad.
We got to plan you a vacation, just you and the wifey. Saul will take Ro.
Hello. S says Espo treats himself like a six-year-old.
I want to call bullshit on this. I'm going to ask Tracy, what vacations do you go on where my man can't have a drink in the morning? A drink.
The last vacation, I went to Legoland.
Reason to get drunk.
I'd be drunk at Legoland.
Hell yeah.
They've only got like one roller coaster.
We're going to have to work on this, Espo. We'll put it on the to-do list for next off season.
I'm going to pack a bunch of those Four Peaks in my suitcase. I'm going to have a good time on vacation.
Get arrested.
Joel Martinez says, drunk at noon, cheering on Team U.S., Saul seems like he likes to party early in the morning. I like to party all the time. Go to any of our game watches, and you'll find people that just want to buy shots and half shots, whatever. It goes down all the time. I don't back down. You give me a shot, I'm drinking it. Come through, find out. Ask Jay in the chat. He was there. Bought us a couple drinks. Here we go.
PHX Scotty gets it. That's what was in an alcohol.
I love the contrast.
But
of
one
just
drink.
What was said.
We're talking about a drink. A mimosa.
I know.
Okay, but
put a little relish on your hot dog.
I'm gonna be fair to Espo with the Legoland one, because when I was a kid, both my brother and I, we went to Legoland, and my parents both had one drink each, and they fucking lost my brother. My brother was lost in Legoland.
That seems like a personal issue. That's what we call an outlier. Okay.
Emma just totally low-key threw her parents completely under the bus.
She will be hearing from her mother after the show today.
Okay, let's get back on track. We do have a super chat. One more from Psycho Blue. Thank you so much, Psycho Blue. Saul, would you like to read this one?
This is not just normal.
So, hey, Espo, next August, come visit me at EVO in Las Vegas. I might have a meet and greet booth with Fresh Cut, and then we can talk about how to break the seal. There you go. That's your vacation in Las Vegas. Psycho Blue is going to help you out.
Like that
we'll be there next summer for the Summer League. There we go.
All right. To kind of round things out, is this just a game that needs to be flushed and move past? Or is there anything that can be learned from
this? 1,000,000% flushed. You move on. You forget about this game. Never bring it up again. Burn it in hell. And DA and Mikhail still need to be consistent. I think those are the two things you can take away.
I think you can learn. Monty should pop this tape in every time they're about to play a shit team and go, if you don't get your mind right, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get your ass kicked by an inferior team, and we're too good to let that happen.
I think you flush it. I think you look for more consistency from Mikhail and DA, but I think we're flushing it until the next time this happens, and it will inevitably happen again. But I'm not worried about it. Still third in the West, even after tonight's loss. Like, we know this is going to be a good team. We just have to tolerate some of these mind-numbing losses to bad teams every now and then.
Todd, I want to agree with you, but the Blazers are a decent team. They're not a shit team. They might make the playoffs. They've been playing good basketball. I'll give them a pass on those. And the Sixers,
they're better than bad, but they're not phenomenal. And a lot of people in the preseason have, you know, had them highly ranked with Harden, obviously. So,
right.
You know, this one's probably the worst loss of the season for sure, especially how they played, but we'll just forget about it and move on.
Yeah. And Todd was saying, however, this keeps happening.
But before we do, I do have something additional to say.
Mm. Yes.
Are we all done?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hey, it is Veterans Day, and I wanted to give a shout out to one of my guys. You know, I love supporting veterans. If you don't know who, what I'm all about, that is one of the things I'm about. I think that the veteran community needs as much support as anybody out there. And my guy, Carl Little, is funny. We were, when I was a TI, he was actually one of my students, big old guy. You can show the picture there, Emma. This is us in the dorm back in the day. Me teaching this big old 6'6" dude who played on the all Air Force basketball team how to basically yell at kids, which was fun. Now he's the assistant coach over at Austin P. After he got out of the military, he became a captain in the Army after moving on from the Air Force. I'm just proud of this dude, and I'm proud of a lot of the people that I served with, so I appreciate them. If you want to help out a vet, go to thewoundedwarriorproject.org and help out, because they need. Listen, I wish we could do more for vets in this country. I know a lot of people will clamor to do as much as we can for vets, but still, there's still legislation that holds things back. I go to the VA very often, and it is a frustrating experience trying to get things done at the level as quickly as they need to get done. And then the mental health aspect of things is still so, so far behind. One of the reasons why I'm out of the military is because the mental health aspect of things, I literally was told, don't make things bigger than they seem. And I was just like, well, okay, well, I'm struggling with a lot of things. And it kind of ruined my life for about a 3-year period. And here I am. So please help out a vet. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Saul. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, nice. Saul. Thank happy you. Veterans Day. And happy Veterans Day to any of our viewers who also served or have family members or friends who served. We appreciate you guys as well. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you enjoy your weekend without Suns basketball, surprisingly enough. This is like the last weekend.
Yeah, we could
after tonight, it's probably a good thing to have a little detox.
I'm having a morning drink.
But Monday, we'll be right back here. Hopefully, the Suns will be back in decent form by then. So we'll have a pregame show 30 minutes before tip-off and a postgame show on Monday for you guys. Until then, be excellent to one another. Thank you for joining us. You can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And, of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
R.I.P. Batman. Ahoy, hoy.
Hey yo, my lifestyle is retro. Tell the Phoenix Metro. Megas in control and he ain't never gonna let go. PHNX though, Lindsey, Gerald, Espo. Saul, pass the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me.